morning, good morning. It is 9:05. It is time for the Prayer Closet. We're taking your prayer requests right now. What do you have? You woke up this morning and you got a little bit of a concern. You're thinking about, you're wrestling with something and something just feels completely uneasy and you're just totally unsettled. What do you have? 419-389-0893. Send us a text. Let us know what that is. All of your prayer requests are completely anonymous, but we are here to stand with you. And along with us this morning, we have Pastor Bill Herzog. Pastor Bill, good morning to you, sir.
Good to be here. We recently went and saw the Jesus Revolution movie, and, you know, I come to Christ in the middle of that movement. Now, I wasn't out in California. I was here in Toledo, actually in Maumee, at a little Baptist church, a lot of singing bluegrass gospel music, and a lot of people from Kentucky, West Virginia, and all of that. But in the middle of that, you know, as I began to hear the gospel, which I had never really heard before, I grew up not going to church at all. If I had friends that were Christians, they were pretty secretive about it or didn't want me in the group, but they we just didn't know anything. And I started going. My father-in-law is a hellfire and brimstone preacher. I mean, what a shock to walk in and have him, you know, really, you know, for an hour, hour and a half, man, just use all kinds of funny noises, yelling, sweating, but proclaiming, you know, Jesus. And so at one point he would go like, if Jesus was knocking on the door, you know, if Jesus knocked on your door, would you let him in? And again, back in the 70s, I'm dating Barb. I had to go to church to date her. Not a good way to go, parents. Don't let that happen. But as I did, I looked at her. I said, well, you know, I mean, if Jesus knocked on my door, he'd be look just like every other hippie. How would I know? And actually, the movie solidified it. That was, I'm looking at the guy that plays Jesus in The Chosen playing Lonnie. I'm thinking, see, right there, Jesus looked just like Lonnie. Lonnie, you know, they all look the same. And then she says, no, you have a door on your heart. And I'm like, wow, I didn't even know that. And I began to listen. And, you know, I came to Christ. It took me a number of, you know, really a few months. I didn't rush into it. I think that. But when I found him and when I saw it and when I went after it, I knew I was in for the rest of my life. I knew it was something that it wasn't, let's just try Jesus. Let's just avoid hell. But it was a commitment to follow him. And, you know, I remember going, immediately I started going to a little Christian bookstore that was in Sylvania. A nice little couple owned it. I think they were from another Baptist church. They were always dressed really well. I came in jeans and a sweatshirt, probably a lot of times right after work. And, you know, at one point, you know, my hair was a little longer, but not long. I wasn't a hippie. I wasn't a wannabe. But you know, he said, you know, when, you know, God cleans up the inside of a person, the outside begins to clean up also. And I'm kind of like, I think he wants me to look different. But I never have captured the idea of wearing a suit and tie all the time. But I understood what he was after. And he was a very loving person. So I came to Jesus in a real radical season. Our country, just much like today, was in a mess. Almost the idea of assassinations were happening, you know, on a regular basis. It seemed like 4 dead in Ohio, 4 students shot on the campus of Kent State, multiple big city riots and cities burnt down. And so it was a very violent time. And so at the same time, there was this move for a very radical move to Jesus with a bunch of young people. We recently also made a trip to Asbury, and these kids weren't hippies, but we saw a radical move among the young people that were just saying, I want him. I want him alone. It was a sweet presence, and I began to see it kind of move around and sweep the nation a bit, and I'm hopeful because this is what we need to maneuver through whatever is coming up next, is a move of God. If it's going to change the trajectory of our country, it has to be this, and it really has to be what I believe with all my heart, this generation down there that on many places they're rejecting Christianity or rejecting this, but the other thing is when they find something they're in, they're all the way in, much like we were back in the 70s. They're all the way in. They will be real Jesus freaks in that sense. And so I was reading, again, my father-in-law always uses scripture in Revelation, you know, Jesus is knocking at the door. But if you read it in the context of what Jesus is doing, I think the scary thing is he's talking to the church. And so in Revelation 3, if you were to start, I won't read all of it to begin with, but around 14, he's writing to the church of Laodicea, and he tells them, like, I know your deeds, and you're neither cold nor hot. You're very lukewarm. You're very complacent. You're very satisfied. You kind of think that you're very wealthy. You're very affluent. You know, you've got it all together. But he says, you know what? You don't get it. You're naked and poor and blind, and you need to see that. So then he goes down, and starting in verse 19, he said, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Now, this is a big, this is what we recognized back in the Jesus movement. And it's what I heard a lot at Asbury was a lot of repentance. Repentance means to start changing your mind, changing your direction, changing the way you're thinking. So Jesus is talking to the church, and he says, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. I will correct you. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on the throne, on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And so this is really the last church that he connects. He passes these letters around. But I love the image. But I think what we have to grasp is we a lot of times in Christianity, we like to tell, like, I'm walking through an open door, you know. This is one of those cases where we have to open the door, that there's an invitation from the Lord that I will come in and I will be with you. I will fellowship with you. I will sit and eat with you. And would you do that? Would you get out of your complacency? Would you get out of your lukewarmness? And in that whole idea, he says, you know, you're so lukewarm that you're neither hot or cold. It's like I will spit you out. So a church that is lukewarm, he says, is this useless? And I look around. I think COVID helped us to react and to respond to something that was, you know, unusual. And they had to begin to wrestle with how are we the church? How do we do the church? But we can slip back into a complacent moment. He invites us to, you know, to understand that that those that he loves, he will rebuke, he will challenge and chastise. And then there's the invitation that I come, I will stand at the door and knock. The NLT reads, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. And so as I even think about going into the prayer closet here in a moment, it's much easier to sit down and talk with a friend. It's much easier to sit down and have a meal with someone that you're acquainted with. And it's much easier to just have that hard conversation. You know, we don't just walk up to a stranger and say, hey, you know, my life's a mess. My wife hates me, you know. But I may walk to a friend and say, things are tough, man. And this is what we have with Jesus. So as we get ready to pray, it's this idea that he's opened the door for us. He's knocking on the door for us to come in. You know, sometimes, again, we're waiting for someone to open the door. The famous photo of this, the painting of this, shows him knocking at a door, but there's no doorknob on the outside. It has to be opened by us. And I'm challenged. I know it's a great line to use, you know, for an invitation at a church service, all that. But, you know, it's really he's talking to the church. He's talking to you and I and saying, look, and I'm out here. Stand, you know, basically, I'm standing outside knocking to come in. What a stark picture to think about. Like, we could be doing church. I'm trying to think of who the famous guys talked about it. I'll get it in a minute. But he said something to the fact that many of us could do church. If the Holy Spirit left, we could still do church the way we always have because we have the programs and we have the pieces in place. We would never recognize that the Holy Spirit had left the building. And I think that was A.W. Tozer said something like that. It wasn't perfect, but it's the idea that we could continue to perform. We could continue to do what we do and actually look pretty successful. Again, is what this church looks like in Laodicea. They looked pretty successful. They had a great building program. You know, they had a nice building. The parking lot was clean. The bathrooms were well established. You know, everybody's looking well. And he said, "But you're empty. You're blind. You're naked. And if you don't see that, you know, I'm going to pull my spirit." And so again, the invitation is he's standing at the door knocking. He's inviting us in. He's inviting us. There's another time in John 7 as he stands up at the end of a feast. He says, on the final and climactic day of the feast, Jesus took his stand. He cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Rivers of living water will brim and spill out of the depths of anyone who believes in me this way, just as the scripture said." Now he said this in regard to the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were about to receive. The Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. So there's another invitation. He throws it out. Now, this is to a large open crowd, but he's really talking to a very religious group again. And he says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. You know, rivers of living water will brim and spill out of the depths of anyone who believes in me this way. So again, Jesus is in a constant state of pursuing. He's in a constant state of coming after us, being persistent, being consistent. Our job is, how will we respond to that? How will we react to his invitation? Will we ignore it? Will we pretend like it's not happening? Or will we grab it and take it? The woman at the well is such a beautiful story as Jesus starts talking to her. You know, so many things, culture things he's breaking, so many icons and idols he's flipping over. He should not be talking. She may be talking to this woman. She may not be talking to this Samaritan woman, you know, in the middle of the day. She's there because she's obviously got problems and issues. And what does he do? He offers her living water. He says, "Hey, you know, if you knew who I was," and then she begins the dialogue. Then she turns a little, you know, spiritual. "Oh, well, we worship over here. You worship over here." And Jesus says, "Yeah, really, you guys don't even know what you're worshiping, but that's all right. One day we'll worship in spirit and truth." And then he just reads her mail. He says, "Go invite your husband." And she says, "Well, I don't have one." "Yeah, yes, you're right. You have five. And the one you're living with, the guy now." And then he began to talk a little more. And then she ran away going, "Come and meet a man who told me everything." This is who we know. This is who I met back in the 70s. In 1971, I met a man who knew me, who I was. And I came to him just as I was. And my life has never been the same. And it's a continued trajectory, a continued growth pattern. So I would just encourage you, man, open the door. No matter what that looks like to you or me, open the door, let him in. You'll never regret it.